In Sarajevo, President Clinton warns leaders not to lose the peace. Russian President Yeltsin heads back to the Kremlin tomorrow. Managed care plans cut benefits for Medicare patients. Good Monday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. The war-weary people of Sarajevo cheered President Clinton this morning as he strolled through a crowded market with Hillary and Chelsea. One of those to welcome the American leader was Faruk Suvagic, a Muslim badly wounded by a sniper during the war.
I was feeling desperate and lost, like my whole country, which was covered by hatred and killings.
But he said that changed after the West stepped in.
It is only in peace that me and thousands of my fellow Bosnians have a chance to realize our dreams that we had in childhood.
The Clinton-Bosnia visit is only 14 hours long, but as CBS News White House correspondent Scott Pelley reports, it's packed with symbolism and substance.
Mr. Clinton arrived in Sarajevo to tell the people they must make the fragile peace permanent. In a speech delivered in a war-damaged theater, Mr. Clinton told the audience that even though their scars are fresh, their energy short, they must wrench themselves from the past.
The world is watching, and the world is with you. But the choice is yours. May you make the right one.
This visit by the president would have been impossible only last year. Sarajevo was far too dangerous a place then. Mr. Clinton's trip is an indication of how far Bosnia has come and how far it has yet to go. Throughout his trip in Sarajevo, the president received a tremendous reception, as Charmaine Wilkerson reports.
School children waved miniature American flags and sang their welcome to President Clinton. Others simply shouted, "Welcome to Sarajevo." One woman burst into tears and told Mr. Clinton, "We'll never forget you. Thank you for everything." 2 years after the first U.S. NATO troops entered Bosnia-Herzegovina, the residents of Sarajevo are repairing shelled-out buildings, working on getting their public transportation and utilities back in shape, and even putting on art shows, ballets, and concerts.
The Sarajevo Philharmonic played here last night with Mozart's Requiem. It was beautiful. It's as good as anything that I've experienced back in the States.
Joe Hannon is a city manager from Redmond, Oregon, a U.S. Army reservist who's been in Sarajevo for 7 months, helping to advise residents on rebuilding their city and government. Charmaine Wilkerson, CBS News, Sarajevo.
I was in Copenhagen.
The Clintons are now visiting U.S. troops at their muddy base camp in Tuzla, shaking hands, posing for pictures, and after the president speaks in about an hour, they'll all share a meal. Russian President Boris Yeltsin is reported off the sick list, as Beth Noble reports from Moscow.
President Yeltsin says he'll leave the sanatorium where he's been resting for nearly 2 weeks and return to work in the Kremlin on Tuesday. But it remains to be seen whether Yeltsin's doctors will let him head to the office. Last week, Yeltsin tried to go to work, but his doctors held him back, saying the president was still suffering the effects of a cold. With the Russian press speculating that Yeltsin may be seriously ill, the president will have to return to work to end worries about his health. Beth Noble, CBS News. Moscow.
Many Medicare recipients find their benefits shrinking under managed care, as we hear live from newsman John Harchi.
Bill, many senior citizens in Medicare HMOs are getting hit with new charges. Faced with higher drug costs and a cap by Congress, the New York Times says providers are adding charges or eliminating benefits like free drugs, and that is producing heated reaction from seniors like 75-year-old Gloria Blevins.
Anger, more than anything. Because one of the reasons I signed up was so that I would have coverage for my medications.
Those medications can have a substantial cost.
It was $115 to $120 a month. And now I don't have that coverage.
Yet some healthcare experts claim the government has been paying too much to Medicare HMOs. Reporting live, John Harchi, CBS News.
The state of Florida has concluded the Prudential Insurance Company deliberately cheated and misled its customers for a decade. An attorney general's report obtained by the New York Times said the company is at the core of this fraud. Prudential's top executive also reportedly okayed paying nearly $1.5 million to silence a whistleblower. In a freak accident yesterday, a two-year-old girl strolling with her parents across San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge slipped through a walkway crevice and fell 170 feet to a dirt service road. Anthony Garcia was nearby.
Somebody yelling something, screaming from the bridge. It happened so fast that everything was kind of chaotic.
The toddler still had a pulse when rescuers reached her, but she was pronounced dead at a hospital. In Tinley Park, Illinois, a two-month-old boy survived after his mother forgot he was on top of the car in his car seat and drove away. The child tumbled face down into a busy intersection, suffering cuts and scrapes. After a weekend off, the jury in Terry Nichols' Oklahoma City bomb trial is back for a fifth day of deliberations. Newsman Al Freeman is live in Denver. Al, what impact could this two-day break have on the dozen jurors?
Well, Bill, many here believe the panel members should be able to focus more clearly on the task at hand, that the weekend break may have given them time to sort through questions or doubts they may have about Terry Nichols' guilt or innocence. On the other hand, though, the time off may also have caused them to raise new questions or doubts, so it's not an easy question to answer. One thing Judge Richard Mates was obviously concerned about last Friday was the possibility that somebody might try to influence a juror during the weekend break.
Al, are prosecutors worried about the length of deliberations?
They don't appear too nervous just yet. Most here expect the jury to be out for quite a while. It is a complex case based on mostly circumstantial evidence. There's a lot to sort through, but clearly prosecutors will begin to worry, Bill, if there's no verdict by, say, late tomorrow.
Al Freeman in Denver. Later today, 12 jurors and 6 alternates could be sworn in for the Unabomber trial in Sacramento. A week from today, the government begins making its case against defendant Theodore Kaczynski. The Tokyo Stock Exchange lost another 3.3% today, closing at its lowest level in 2.5 years. European markets were down only a fraction, and on Wall Street, the Dow is ahead now 78 points. Moody's Investor Service today lowered the credit ratings of Indonesia, Malaysia, South Korea, and Thailand. With just 3 Christmas shopping days left, nervous retailers have begun slashing prices up to 70%. So far, Christmas sales have been sluggish, and retail analyst Alan Milstein says there's no hot new electronic gizmo this year.
The laboratories in Japan have failed to come up with a newer innovative product, and therefore our U.S. retailers from Circuit City to the Wiz to Best Buy in California have suffered grievously as far as their bottom line is concerned.
The chairman of Bloomingdale says he's looking forward to big sales the week after Christmas. American Electric Power, the nation's third biggest utility, is buying Dallas-based Central and Southwest Corporation for about $6 billion. A big Sunday for the Detroit Lions as they captured a wild card playoff berth. Star running back Barry Sanders also became the third NFL player to rush more than 2,000 yards in a season. But for several minutes in the fourth quarter, it appeared there might be tragedy on the field. Jeff Lesson of WWJ reports.
In the Detroit Lions' 13-10 victory over the New York Jets, Lions linebacker Reggie Brown suffered an apparent severe head injury as he collided headfirst with another player. He lay motionless and unconscious on the Silverdome turf as both teams gathered on the field to say prayers on behalf of the injured Lions player. The situation looked grim as he was finally removed from the field by stretcher and ambulance, but has since regained consciousness and sensation in all four extremities. A CAT scan revealed no apparent fracture. Team officials are encouraged, but other studies, such as an MRI, are still pending. Jeff Lesson, CBS News, Detroit.
That's the roundup for Monday. I'm Bill Lynch, CBS News.